Lord Jesus, we thank you for this day, that we are your children and that we have your word. Your word, as John said, is who you are. The word became flesh and dwelt among us. And Lord Jesus, we are dependent upon your word. And so today, we're coming together to gather around your word and to gain perspective from your word. The word of truth that we've sang about. The word of truth that we'll gather around right now as we come to this time in the service where we look at a passage of scripture. And then as we gain perspective too from the table, from you and your sacrifice, what you did for us, Jesus. We love you, Lord. We bless you. Word of God, speak. Word of God, speak. We want to hear from you today. Just take a moment in the silence just to confess that to God, that you want to hear from him today. We bless you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You can be seated for a minute. It's interesting because we've been in the book of Ephesians. We started off at the beginning of Ephesians, and we talked about how we are our purpose to worship. That Ephesians is a book that tells us, instructs us on how to be the church. And so it starts off by telling us that we're purposed to worship. That one of our purposes is to worship our great God. And he is so worthy of praise and worship. And that's a bit of what we did this morning already. Just lifting up his holy, worthy name. And then last week we talked about prayer. How we're purposed to pray. That part of my job as a pastor is to pray for you and to ask God, just as we were just singing about, that we would get a handle on what he is communicating to our hearts. Hey, Steve, can you turn me down just a tad? I hear a little bit of a ring. And what we are purposed as a community is to be a people of prayer. And that's one of those disciplines that makes us feel guilty, right? Many of us, like, pray. I don't pray enough. I should pray more. We read about Paul and how he prays without ceasing, whatever that means, you know? And yet, there is a joy that comes through our connection with God that we experience through prayer, both individually and corporately. And so this morning we're looking at the details of what Paul prayed in Ephesians 1, verse 15. And this is beautiful that Paul lays out for us in Ephesians several times aspects of his prayer, details of how he prays and what he wants you to pray for him for. And this is the first of those. And as I prepared for this message today, I did quite a bit of praying, and I'm going to be honest with you. Last night I was trying to rework what I was going to say this morning, just because I just felt like this unrest with what I had down on paper, and I feel like God really wants to speak to us something of the truth of prayer that Paul embodied, that he had embraced. To each of us, he has a message in this passage today. And so I was praying this morning and walking around the building a little bit, just praying like, God, what do you want? I just don't feel settled. What do you want us to know from this passage this morning? And this is what I felt like. This is not like a part of the canon, like God told me in an audible voice. But I want us to do something this morning that is a little bit odd. I want us to get out and walk out into the parking lot. Can you do that with me? This is supposed to be a sermon where you sit. But I'm going to ask you to get up and follow me out into the parking lot. All right. This is like in back before we had sound systems, and so the preacher had to yell, right? Amen. Okay, we're only going to be out here for a minute, so don't worry. Don't worry.
I know you're upset about it.
Yeah, I am upset.
But I want to read the first part of this passage. Paul says, "For this reason, because I've heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love towards all the saints, I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, having the eyes of your heart enlightened." I mentioned last week that this is a church that Paul commends them because they have both faith and love. If we were to fast forward 35 years later and we were to look at the message that Jesus gives to the same church in Revelation 2, this is a church that had faith but not love. But at this point, they have both faith and love. So it's curious that Paul prays that they'd have a spirit of wisdom and revelation. Revelation being something, some kind of understanding that they don't presently have. And it seems that Paul's saying, you have that revelation, but there's more to have. And this morning in Sunday school, we were talking about perspective. And I think that's what Paul gives us here, is perspective. This passage is about perspective. And so we're out here. That's not the church. That's a building that we steward, but you guys are the church. And our sign out here says, "Living the call together." Living the call together. I think that embodies the prayer that Paul is praying for the Ephesian church. Now, I didn't call you out here just as a gimmick, but I think that God wants to give us a bit of perspective this morning. You are the church called together by God, and just the fact that we have cars going by tells us that this is Greensboro, where God placed us in this specific time for his specific plans. Remember how we talked about God is a God of plans? When we talked about worship, we said God is a planner. Well, part of his plan is to call us, Westside Chapel, together for such a time as this. And so I want us to, if you have your bulletin, you can look at Open the Eyes of My Heart, Lord, is a song. If you don't have it, just enter in with your heart. But I want us to sing, if you know it, Open the Eyes of My Heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. Sing that again. Open the eyes of my heart. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you high and lifted up. See you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power, pour out your power and love. We sing holy, holy, holy. We sing holy, 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 holy. We cry holy, holy, holy. We sing holy, holy, holy. I want to see you. One more time. Holy, holy, holy. We sing holy, holy, holy. We cry holy, holy, holy. We sing holy, holy, holy. I want to see you. Let's head back in with that thought in mind. Perspective. Holy, 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 we cry holy, holy, holy. We sing holy, holy, holy. I want to see you. We cry holy, holy, holy. We sing holy, holy, holy. Sing holy, holy, holy. I want to see you. I want to see you. I want to see you. So Paul prays that the church at Ephesus would have perspective. Perspective. He prays that they would have a knowledge of God. The NIV says that you would know Him better. Having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which He has called you. What are the riches of His glorious inheritance in the saints? And what is the immeasurable greatness of His power towards us who believe, according to the working of His great might? Having the eyes of your heart enlightened, that you may know the hope. How many of you need hope this morning? Hope. We have hope. It's rooted in Jesus Christ. It's rooted in our calling. I don't understand it completely, but Ephesians says we are predestined. Basically, God picked us. He picked you. There's a comfort. There's a hope knowing that. If we look backwards and we see that I am a child of God, that God picked me to be a child of God, that God picked Westside to be part of His body, the representation of His body here on earth. That's exciting, right? There's some hope in that. That applies to us both individually and corporately. The riches of His glorious inheritance in the saints. We can look back and see that we have hope because we were called. We're a called people. We can look forward and see that we have a glorious inheritance. There's hope in that too. 2 Corinthians 4 and 1 Peter 1 talk about how the trials that we experience now are just, they're momentary. They're short compared to eternity. And it's as if Paul is looking across the horizon And he's looking past those trials and that persecution. He's saying, look past that. You have hope that's beyond. You have hope when you look back, and you have hope when you look forward. You have the hope of what Christ did for you at the cross, and you have heaven waiting. And he finds comfort and joy in that, that helps him present tense to endure and to find peace in the midst of the storm. This is Paul writing from prison. Paul writing from prison saying this. There's perspective there, right? Just looking back and looking forward gives us perspective right now. The main emphasis, though, of this prayer that Paul prays is in verse 19. And what is the immeasurable greatness of his power towards us who believe, according to the working of his great might? It's as if in this passage there's a sense of God actually exerting himself. Like he's reaching out, and that reach is full of power. I don't know if we have any NASCAR fans in the room. Do we? No. I'm going to say that's a no. I'm not much of a NASCAR fan, but my grandma, who lives in Colorado, is a huge NASCAR fan. And so she will knit while she's watching NASCAR, and she hates Jeff Gordon. So Jeff Gordon is a driver, if you're not familiar with NASCAR or racing. And he was a very successful driver. He retired, I think, last year. But imagine with me, I'll use Jeff Gordon, sorry, Grandma, as an illustration. Imagine Jeff Gordon just won the Daytona 500, one of the most prestigious races. And at the end of that race, he did what they always do. They peel out and they do donuts in the grass. And then he pulled his car over and they got it on one of those whatever they are and pulled the engine out. And then they put it in my car. Now, my car is a little Toyota Yaris. So you have to use a lot of imagination because that engine probably wouldn't fit in the whole of my car. But imagine that it could. And they put that engine in my car. If you want to race after the service, I'm pretty sure I'll beat you because under my hood is Jeff Gordon's championship engine. Gives me a lot of confidence. In a spiritual sense, Paul is saying to these believers, guess what's under your hood? You have the same power that raised Jesus from the dead under your hood. The same power that seated Jesus next to the Father, made him ruler of everything. And the same power that made him the head of the church. That's what's under your hood. If you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, that is the power that you have under your spiritual hood. That's the reality. That's the reality that Paul is saying to these people right now. I want you to understand this. Not in this ethereal, like, oh yeah, we have Jesus on our side. If God's for us, who can be against us? He's saying, I want you to have a revelation, a fresh new revelation, that you have that power right now, in this minute. In this moment, it's a matter of perspective. Paul is praying that these people would have perspective. And Paul, in Paul type, just his style, you can tell that this is a man that has that hope, has that perspective, knows that power. Remember, he's writing from prison. But I think of this is an election year. And I don't know why. When I was reading Paul this time, and I think of this every once in a while when I'm reading Paul, but is his name Howard Dean, like back in 2004. He was a Democrat candidate for the presidency, and he lost because of the scream. He kind of lost momentum, the scream. So he was a candidate, and he'd come in third, I think, in Iowa, but he was still going to win the presidency. And so he gets up after they find out the election numbers, and he gets up before his people, and he's like, just have heart, stay bold, stay strong, because we might have come in third in Iowa, but we're going to come in first in Michigan and New York. And he goes on this like litany, and you can tell he's like getting really excited. And it climaxes with him going, "Wah!" And I guess that didn't seem very presidential. I mean, we're very fickle people it's really hardcore standards that help us to vote for who we vote for. But it was the scream that was his demise. Anyways, I feel like that with Paul sometimes. Like, he starts telling us some truth, and then he gets sucked into it, and he's like, and guess what? And God is so amazing, and That's what Paul does here. It's half prayer, half praise. It's as if while he is telling you how he's praying, it's becoming a bigger reality in his own heart. And he's getting excited about it. And you can tell just in the way that he goes on. It's the power towards us who believe, according to the working of his great might, that worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, for far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but in the one to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him as head over all things to the church, which is this body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Perspective. Paul prays for perspective, that the eyes of their heart would be opened to know the hope, real, live hope. I know that there are some of you in this room that are tired, and you want hope. May God give us a perspective of hope. Real time, hope, right now. There's some of you in this room that feel weak. In our weakness, he's made strong. Perspective, power. Would you stand? I'm not going to make you walk outside this time. With that perspective, would you join me? And again, let's just ask God to open our eyes to that hope and to that love and to that power.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you.
Open the eyes.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want. Sing holy, holy, holy. cry, holy, holy, holy. We sing, holy, holy, holy. I want to see you. I want to see you. I want to see you.
You may be seated. Lord Jesus, I thank you for that hope, that perspective, that power that is ours in Christ Jesus as people of faith. I pray if there are any here that have never put their faith in you, that they would experience that hope, that perspective, that power as they put their faith in you. For those in this room that are experiencing maybe the weight of busyness, maybe the struggles of just living life, feeling like so often we're in survival mode, I pray that you would give us perspective. Perspective, Lord. The living, real, present Savior of the universe is here. The lover of our souls is here. He's with us. I think of how this passage that we just looked at, it talks about the Holy Spirit, that he's the down payment as we await for that inheritance. Help that perspective, knowing that we're indwelled. I don't understand it, but it's amazing that the Holy Spirit is dwelling within us, giving us revelation, opening the eyes of our heart, giving us hope where there's hopelessness, giving us perspective where we need perspective, and giving us power. Because we need power, Lord. We need your power. Perspective, Lord. I think of how this table that we're about to go to reminds us of all those same truths of hope, perspective, power. And we bow our knee in respect and in remembrance, in honor of what you did for us to accomplish that hope, that perspective, that power. I thank you for your body, which was broken for us. I thank you for your blood that was spilled out on our behalf. Allow that truth and the truth that lies within what we are participating in this morning as we come to the communion table, allow that to give us perspective. Because we need your perspective, Lord. It's so easy to get sucked into all the voices in our heads and in outside of our, just outside of the safety of our relationship with you, and it's easy to listen to those voices. But this morning, we're coming to you for perspective. So give it to us, Lord. I know that's your desire. I'm going to ask for the worship team to come forward, and this morning, as they're playing, they're going to just start to play in the background. I want you to come forward, get a cup, get bread, and then go back to your seat and allow the words of the song and the truths of this passage that we just looked at to give you perspective. Sit in that moment for just a little while, and then partake as you feel you're ready.